Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Gutters. Hey, oh boy, Kevin Goatee here, gutting the sacred cow. You know what else is here? Ragweed fever. Who's got it? This guy. But you know what? That's not stopping me to get you a fantastic brand new episode. This week we've got Nina Lee, aka Nina Serafina, doing one of the most acclaimed films of the year. Back in 2015, I believe, and that was Whiplash. You know, J. Jonah Jameson playing a jazz teacher who throws a cymbal at a kid's head. Fun stuff. Before we get to it, don't forget guttingthesacredcow.com every single day. Grab yourself a hoodie. It's going to get cold soon. Grab yourself a shirt, mug, bag, whatever, and check out our blog articles every Monday through Friday. Give those a look around, would you? Por favor. And hey, if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, do us a favor too. Give us a follow on Instagram, please, please, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's it, guys. Really appreciate you. Love you to death. Without any more delay, and let me go take some NyQuil. Here's Nina Serafina doing Whiplash.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
It smells like someone's been swimming in raw sewage. That would be me. I love it. Kevin Israel, name that film.
You know I should know this one, and I don't.
Naked Gun 2.5.
I think you've gone to Naked Gun a few times too, and I
mix between 1 and 2 because 3's not good. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, we are here. Gutting the Sacred Cow. Yes, again, folks, thank you so very much for joining us another week, another episode. And here we are continuing our – it's been a weird streak of films, Kevin Israel. It's been either beloved films or acclaimed films, as you've just heard us do. Logan, very acclaimed and successful, I should add, too. Citizen Kane, acclaimed, very acclaimed, and not really successful, but very – probably the most acclaimed film of all time. And the last, couple have been some really beloved films, and that would, of course, be Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But today we have Nina Lee. Nina, how's it going? What's going on?
It's going well. Nothing much is really going on. Just happy to be here.
Nina, tell the good folks what you're up to, where we can find you, and shout out some of your projects.
Yeah, totally. Well, you all found me from my Twitter. So definitely follow me on Twitter. I tweet about films that I love and hate quite often. It's Nina Serafina. I have a web series on YouTube called Sorry About That. So definitely check that out. And I can't remember what else you asked me.
What you're up, where we can find you and what you're up to. So,
So what I'm up to is, I guess at the end of last year, I got $50,000 to make a short film, and I was really excited about it, and I got my first rejection into a film festival right before this podcast, and so that has me really excited to tear into some films that are really beloved. Take my
time. Isn't it fair to say that you're not a filmmaker if you don't get some rejection?
Yeah, it's not. You need rejection. You know, but I don't know. You see so many people, like, even with, you're right.
I like how Nina took this into the cellist where you're from and what you're up to and made this humble brag section by saying, oh, she got 50 grand. We sure as fuck don't get 50 grand worth of advertising yet.
And then I took it back and said, you know,
I would take $50,000 to get rejected all day long.
You son of a bitch, you stole the words exactly verbatim out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Nina has chosen to continue on the acclaimed train. Ha, rhyme. The 2014 acclaimed juggernaut Whiplash. a budget at the time of $3.3 million, a box office gross of $13 million in the States, but $49 million worldwide. Turn that into 2021 money, $3.7 million budget and a $55.7 million haul. Kevin Israel, that is one hell of an ROI if my math goes about it right. About what, 18, 19 fold ROI?
Oh, yeah. That's anybody would take that. Anybody on Wall Street.
So when Nina gets 50 grand to do a movie, she should expect it to get about 2.5 maybe to ROI.
Short films don't make any money.
Well, this was a short film, by the way, that did go to Sundance.
Yeah.
And that's how it got made into a feature, but we're going to get into it. Before we do, it's time for the guessing game. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Nina, what do you think Whiplash got on the IMDb 1 through 10, again, with decimal points?
Well, it honestly wouldn't be like very fair for me to answer that because
oh no.
I was reading reviews of the film.
Fair. Kevin
earlier. My phone was still on it.
Did you see that number she flashed?
No, I wish my eyes were that good.
Did you have why don't you go first adventure, I guess, then? Or go adventure, I guess.
Oh, IMDb, I'm gonna say that it's a 9.2.
8.5.
Wow, that's a lot lower
than I expected as well.
Yeah.
Nina, did you look up the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I did not.
Excellent. So you can go first and guess what the critics, 1 through 100 percentages, gave Whiplash. Critics, Rotten Tomatoes score.
Gosh, I want to say 89 or 91.
Well, I'm going to pick one.
Okay, I'm going to go with 91.
Kevin Israel?
94.
Holy shit, one of you is a winner of two showcases, and that is my co-host Kevin Israel. 94.
I've had such a bad run of these that I'm glad.
So let's go with the Rotten Tomatoes audience score. Nina, what did Whiplash score?
I'm 8.8.
So 88 is percentages still.
Oh, 8%. Yes, 88.
88. Kevin Israel?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little lower. 83.
94 again.
Wow.
One of the very few times the audiences and critics see completely eye to eye. Quotes. Milk the cunt.
That was a quote?
Yes. That's when he walks in the room.
When he first walks in.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my, and here are in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, I have two of these I use on a regular basis.
You definitely have the quote that I was going to pick.
Well, we'll get there. Were you rushing or were you dragging? I love saying that one. Oh, look, Mr. Gay Pride of the Upper West Side. This is not a Bette Midler concert, and we're not serving cosmopolitans. How timely during Pride Month that we do this film, right? The next one, do I look like a double fucking rainbow to you? Another timely Pride Month reference. And one of my favorites that I shot up while watching this initially and said, holy shit, that's brilliant. There are no two more harmful words in the English language than good job. Kevin Israel, I guess
you didn't get mine.
Which is?
Four words you'll never hear from the NFL.
Love it. And that's in the notes.
That whole exchange was fucking amazing. But when that ended, I was like, oh my God. Now he went nuclear. That was amazing.
Yep. Nina, how about you? Any quotes that jumped out?
No.
Nina Serafina, by the way, if that's your real name, awesome, because that is one hell of a porn name, if I do.
Right. It's Nina Lee.
I see. Pretty good porn name, too, actually.
Yeah.
Serafina, isn't that like a...
It's good.
Is Serafina like a goddess or something? I feel like that's something from mythology.
I got it from a Lil Wayne song.
It's also a restaurant in the city, but okay.
Yeah.
Little Wayne, Greek mythology. What's the difference?
What is the difference? I think that's an excellent point.
More gold teeth and less tattoos.
Yes. But just as much interesting metaphors.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
The film was shot in. Want to take a guess how long this film took to shoot?
2 weeks.
Kevin Israel?
month and a half.
19 days, close, Nina, very close.
Holy shit. Holy shit. That's crazy.
I didn't know that, but yeah. I figured.
Miles Teller did bleed and while he was drumming, and J.K. Simmons also sustained an injury when Miles Teller tackled him on stage and broke two ribs.
That? Have you ever broken a rib?
No. But it's painful as fuck.
It is no joke. Like, that's not, like, you hear about it and you're like, oh, I broke a rib. You can't breathe for a month. That's no joke.
Yeah, I've heard. Must have been one hell of a band practice you were part of that happened to you.
He threw a drum at me.
Whiplash is the lowest grossing Best Picture nominee since 1990. Whiplash, like I alluded to this before, based on a 17-minute short that played at Sundance in 2013. J.K. Simmons was in the original cut short film, but Miles Teller replaced some poor bastard that never received an iota of credits.
That guy at that Oscars must have been like, that should have been me.
Us baseball fans, and specifically Yankee fans, like to say he got Wally Pipped. Dane DeHaan. Who exactly? He played Harry Osborn in The Amazing Spider-Man Part 2, turned down the role of Andrew Neiman.
Big mistake. Huge.
Want to take a guess, both of you? How many awards that J.K. Simmons won for this role?
Ooh, I'm trying to think.
Oh, through all the award shows?
All of them.
Everything. All in.
Maybe like 8. I don't know. It's way more than that. He won like everything he was nominated for, I'm sure.
Give me a number.
19.
Kevin Israel.
11.
47.
Holy shit.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because he won everything he was nominated for, I'm sure.
And I'm sure probably a Kids Choice Nickelodeon Award, too.
Best scene with child abuse goes to.
You know, when the kid was asked, are you out of tune? And he said, I don't know. Green slime should have fallen from the ceiling. It's a hearty laugh. I'll take that as a win. This is the Ask the Gutter segment, but unfortunately, I did not tweet that out. So unfortunately, we don't have any questions as of yet. Okay. So,
Hey Kev, wait, real quick. In your research,
yes.
Did Miles Teller really learn to play the drums for this?
Yes, he did. In fact, they had some guy 90%. Some of the insanely fast stuff they cut away to, but he was playing the drums since he was 15 years old.
Oh, so he knew how to play the drums.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was something, and I'm paraphrasing. So he practiced 3 or 4 hours a day for 4 or 5 days out of the week, but he was playing drums since he was 15. And yes, again, he played those drums until.
Yeah, because I said to my wife when we were watching it last night, I was like, there's no way he just learned to play like that for this movie.
Gosling learned how to play piano real fucking fast for La La Land, but not to this kind of intensity, that's for sure. And now it is time for Nina to try and pull a rabbit out of her ass and try and take down one of the most acclaimed films of all time. Yeah. And it's time for Nina to gut
the
sacred cow.
Okay. So, Adam, like, to preface this a little bit, when I first saw Whiplash, I was still in film school. And, you know, I think this movie gave me PTSD. I think that was, like, a huge part of it. But it also had a few, like, optics of the film that I didn't fully support either. I felt like the film relied a lot on performances. And I just felt like, outside of the performances, nothing really happened in the movie. And I always just felt like, I don't know if you all have seen Drumline, but I just felt like it was like a white man's Drumline.
I love Drumline.
I love Drumline. I was just like, you know, no, I felt like it was a white person's response to Drumline. I found it boring. I found it really pretentious, obviously abusive. I think the abusiveness in the film isn't really, you know, J.K. Simmons, by the end of the film, he gets, you know, in trouble for it. But a lot of, like, film bros really relished in his character and really felt like abusiveness breeds good art. And so I guess the stupidity of the people that loved the film kind of made me dislike it. Because even now, like, I searched Whiplash movie and on Twitter, and so many people are just like, oh, if you don't have someone who's, what's his name? Which J.K. Simmons' name is Fletcher?
Fletcher, right. Yep.
They were saying, you know, had he never really pressed him to become this great drummer, then it wouldn't have happened. And so I guess my disdain of the film is more about the audience's reaction to it and less of the film, even though I do think the film is boring as hell and pretentious. Yeah, I don't understand how they weren't able to watch something like that and see that it was abuse. I think I also just have like a problem with, you know, I like movies that pass the, oh my gosh, now I'm not thinking how to say it. Bechdel test. Mm-hmm. And so the only time that a woman speaks, I think, is twice at the dinner table. And she says something that's not important. And then, you know, when he's talking to the girl that he likes, but it's always just really short. And I don't know. I don't think it added to the movie, but there are women involved in jazz. You know, when you think about Ma Rainey, she's kind of like, she was a Black woman in the 20s, and she's kind of known as like the creator of jazz music, blues, and rock and roll. And so there are women, even now. It may not be as easy to find, but I feel like, you know, filmmakers can kind of raise the bar and find a way to incorporate women into these films in a different sense. Like, it was no women in the band at all. And I felt like, you know, he could have found a woman to play in one of those parts. I also kind of, you know, I would like to see, he did, it was always, there was no really Black people. It was in the movie. They didn't, I think, you know, it might've been one or two in the band, but they didn't speak. But once again, jazz music was something that was, you know, created from Black people. So I would have liked to have seen him kind of like raise the bar himself and look for ways where he can incorporate that. But I do have to say that he did take the advice that a lot of people had about that regarding to Whiplash. And he did come out with The Eddie, which was actually pretty spectacular to me. It's a show on Netflix. It's really good.
I will say this, at the end, when Miles Teller was doing his drum solo and the bassist, the Black guy standing behind him. I thought it was hysterical. Like, he was just staring at him. For a guy who had no lines, I thought that really kind of showed what everybody was feeling while this was going on. Because he was just so
like that could have been a movie itself about like a Black man struggling, who's this like blossoming jazz artist, but like struggling in like the music scene because of like all these like white men who get like so much more praise than he does.
Hold on, I'm so stuck on Drumline. Which one was the J.K. Simmons character in Drumline?
The band director.
I don't know. I never saw Drumline. I was just going to see.
Oh, okay. You have to see if you draw a
parallel.
Yeah, no. It's like very paralleled. Orlando, I can't think of the actor's name.
Orlando Brown or Bloom?
No, he was like the sprite guy for a while.
Orlando Brown.
Is it Brown?
I'm pretty sure it was.
He was a comedian.
Yeah. He was in The Replacements.
Yes.
I think it's Orlando Brown.
Yes.
Orlando Jones.
Orlando Brown was a left tackle, got blinded by a referee's flag. Holy shit. Not even close. That's my football movie knowledge crossing over yet again. Sorry.
Good job. And so in that movie, you have this really spectacular drummer who goes to this really... it's pretentious in the Black community, but it's supposed to be like the best Black school with like the best band. And so he feels like, oh, I'm so great. I'm a great drummer. And he goes to his first day of band practice. And the band director is just like, you're not that good. You're da-da-da-da. You're nothing. It wasn't as abusive, but I did.
He never slaps him in the face.
No. But I did. When I watched Whiplash, I was like, this is Drumline. And I went straight to Google to see if anybody had said this, and no one had. So I don't know. I wasn't impressed. I was impressed with the performances, but in the editing,
Okay.
But just with the movie as a whole, I was just like, meh.
Okay.
Oh, I said I think I'd like it more if it was a play.
It did feel like a play.
Yeah.
How could it be more like a play? Exactly right. It felt very much like a play without mm-hmm. without the annoying musical numbers. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. No, God, the musical numbers would have been terrible. I can't imagine like any singing in that.
He could have been singing and dancing while he was throwing right, chairs yeah, at his head.
Like, slap him in the face and then have a song about getting slapped.
Are you out of tune, you big old pussy? Clang!
You need to get slapped in the face.
Can you imagine if Lil Wayne did the musical numbers for
well,
this
you know,
film?
Now that might be interesting. Okay? Sure. It could be like Hamilton.
What else you have?
You know, those might have been my biggest woes of it.
Okay. All right. Give me a number 1 to 10 then of your opinion of Whiplash.
Well, I don't know. I know what it takes to make a film, so I don't think any movie is bad. And I guess I should have started by saying
stop right now. That's not true. We've watched plenty of bad movies.
I love bad movies. That's why I wanted to choose something that everyone loves.
That's because the whole point of this podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
This is our podcast. So
oh, it's so easy to go after like a bad film and be like, you know, tell everyone what they already know. You watch a movie, you know, it's fucking bad.
Yeah, they do that in other podcasts. That's why
I didn't think that it was completely original, but yet, like, I didn't think it was original at all. But yet, it got all of this praise, and everyone's saying how they've never seen anything like this. And I was just like, yes, you have. Yes, you have. I don't know. And I just feel like the performances, I do. I just feel like what everyone said it was a great movie, because I think sometimes we can't separate great performances from a movie being great. So yes, J.K. Simmons is like amazing, but I felt like the movie was kind of lackluster.
I would disagree. I think there's a lot of films where I'm like, that's a monster performance, but the film fucking sucks.
Okay, give me one.
You know, I was trying to think. Go ahead, Kevin. You got one.
Ma Rainey.
There you go. Yes.
I thought everybody's performance in that movie was fucking amazing.
It was.
But when you look at the movie in a whole, nothing really happened in the movie. Like, no. It was all these little kind of vignettes about something happening to each individual during a day. But
which was also a play. I think.
Yes, it was. Correct. Yep.
I was in it in college. And so I'm not a big fan of plays becoming movies. Like, yeah. I feel like the theater should stay.
I just watched In the Heights. And and Kevin doesn't like musicals. I do. No. But this, I think translating a musical to a movie does not work.
It doesn't work.
And yeah.
So and might be where a lot, even though Whiplash was not a play or a musical, I felt like it gave me a lot of those similar emotions. And so not a lot of scene changes, not a lot of, you know, exteriors and different things like that. And I don't like it.
Yeah,
I'll give you a film, and this is not going to be a timely reference, but again, I'm going through a little spurt right now with my queue where I'm watching a bunch of old shit. Some yes. Like It Hot. Great performances. The plot okay. So who gives a fuck?
Some yeah. Like It Hot. Was that Marilyn Monroe?
No, that was Elizabeth Taylor and Paul.
Elizabeth Newman. Taylor. Yes, yes.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. You're right. I meant to say Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That's
Cat on the Hot Tin Roof.
Oh, you really are digging deep.
Yeah, that's terrible. But, terrible.
Let's talk about it. Guess what it was before a movie?
Play. I know.
Play.
But the plot itself, though, was just like, again, I was like, I just don't fucking care about any of these people. And
I didn't care about it. I tried to watch it just to be like, you know, this film person that's seen all these like classical films. And I was same thing. I'm like, wow, I don't care about this movie.
Oh,
well, you know what? Birdman, which plays like a play and is about a play, runs okay. Like, I never felt like it. Like, when I watched The Heights, it dragged to me, which a musical shouldn't mm-hmm. drag. A musical should never drag, because the whole point of the musical,
like when you're in a playhouse, a theater, right. I think it doesn't drag because you're like a part.
You're
of
part
it.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like Burn Man. Go figure.
So did that. Yeah, that's my point. That for a movie that runs like a play and probably could be a play, mm-hmm. it didn't drag. It was paced and timed well, and of course it was done in that one shot style.
Right, which could help.
And yeah. One more film that the performance far outweighs the film itself, and that was just done in this very podcast not 3 weeks ago, was Citizen Kane. That film was a slog.
I don't care about Citizen Kane.
Neither do we. But let's get to Kevin. I'm going to take this one first.
Go for it.
I'm going to go for it. And these notes, of course, sponsored by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you can find some fantastic shirts, some hats. It is summertime. Get a tank top, get a t-shirt, get a, who gives a shit? Just get something for the love of Christ. We're trying to put a few ducats in our pocket, right? Please support your favorite podcast. And of course, if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Love to hear from you anyway, just to say hi. Like I said, we're accepting advertising and whatever. Hit us up there, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Notes, 2 minutes in, and J.K. Simmons is one of the best douches in movie history, without fail. Second point, Raisinets are fucking gross. Raisinets mixed in with popcorn remind me of assholes who put pineapple on pizza. Doubly gross.
My wife was like, they're putting chocolate on the popcorn, and I had no idea what she was talking about.
No, if you have melted chocolate on popcorn, which they actually sell in Epcot with Werther's, it's fucking delicious. But Raisinets mixed in with popcorn?
No, that's disgusting.
That's a lot of different textures.
Yeah. These band members don't look geeky enough for my taste. I don't see enough headgears, deadened eyes to being abused by their fellow students, or scars from Asian parents on Asian kids beating their kids when they go out of tune.
Not here we really go. Enough. There it is. Kevin's first band nerd joke.
Here's another one. If I'm Fletcher, I make the worst player in each section wear the hat with a goofy feather plume as a form of punishment.
I'm not laughing at it.
That was the choice.
That's because Kevin Israel's album cover has him wearing that same hat. I'm not kidding. Probably, I've never been to a movie theater and ever wanted to pick up a movie theater employee. Probably because the form-fitting polyester pants never worked for the gals who were employed by the AMC Corporation. Not for this fellow. Sorry. Kevin Israel, what's the weirdest place you ever met a woman or picked up a woman?
You got to come back to me. I got to go back.
I actually wrote this down. My prom date, my mom picked up for me at Chili's when I was, my mom said, he just got fired from his last job. And this is, I was a senior in high school. He just got fired. She goes, we're hiring. And she write this smoke show hostess writes her name and number on an application, hands it to me. And I took her to my senior prom. True story.
Nice.
Thank you. Okay. Cleaning your spit valve has to be one of the grossest fucking things that are in band. What's next? Using the conductor's wand to pick your nose? Drummers scratching their ass cracks with their sticks? Bassoon players putting the reeds up the piccolo player's rectum and blowing? Filthy habits in the band. Go on. I cannot. Ugh. Gross.
By the way, not that much spit comes out when you clear your, that was an exaggeration.
Dude, it was like he was in the seventh inning of a baseball game and had a full dip in his mouth. That big glop that fell out. Did you ever practice until your hands bled too, Kevin?
Yes. I played the drums.
Oh, wow.
When I was a little kid, yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Not like this, though. No, it wasn't like...
in church?
No, I mean, I was in the band and I did all church. This kind of stuff.
Did you just say church and his last name is Israel, Nina? God damn it. Get
okay, with- and the... Wow. You know, it's in a box.
No, you know what? It's I did go to it. Nina, I did go to a church. And Kevin is just too small-minded to appreciate expanding my religious options.
No, she said, did you play in a church? You're not playing in a church.
Maybe, you know?
No, I did play in my school band. I played from the time I was like six till I was in my 20s.
How the fuck do you lose a music book while just buying a soda? Do they have competing schools trying to swipe them like sororities would steal our pledge books when we were pledging? What kind of fuckery goes on in this band university? Sucked.
Yeah.
Right? Never got mine.
Online, that happens.
I see.
It was our paddles. They would try to steal our paddles.
They were going for our pledge books because they knew we had nefarious shit written in there. When Neiman was at the family dinner, wow, not one but two hilarious bombs. You hit the first one. Come play for us. Four words you'll never hear from the NFL. And it's Division III. I laugh my balls off with those two parts. The movie theater girl gets no time to shine, as Nina aptly put it. We hardly knew anything about her, but I get the narrative of not having her involved before she has the chance to work her charms out. Look, give her one or two qualities to see, like, maybe she's someone that she should get to know, or maybe she's a real piece of shit. But he was at least honest and goes, you know what? my student, my musical is my life. I want nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. Right. I'm out. It was a double-edged sword. Living next to or near Andrew's room must be a nightmare with this constant drumming. This must be the equivalent of living next to people who constantly clog or play bachata music.
What's bachata music?
Bachata.
I don't know what it is.
That's the Dominican dance music.
Well, then you have to hear them dancing as well.
Hard pass. Hard pass. Kevin, get ready for that doesn't happen. He punches a hole through his drum kit, the one thing he needs to practice on most, and destroys it. I don't care how mad you get, you're not busting up your own fucking instrument unless you're Kurt Cobain and you're on the scene of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit or Saturday Night Live because you made millions. You're not going to destroy it as your only drum kit. That doesn't happen.
And by the way, to piggyback on that, I would love to talk to one of the set workers on that movie, because if you punched a drum that hard, first of all, those skins are incredibly strong. What would have more likely happened is it would have tipped over. It would have probably tipped over. To punch through a drum head, you would have to have really sharp knuckles and a perfect punch.
Really? It's just,
yeah, you can't, I mean, you're hitting them though,
constantly. Because you're hitting it so hard that it's just...
No, I get that. But if you drive in, like if you're throwing a good punch, like you're trying to punch the old punch board in the Price is Right board game, I think you could probably land through that with maybe one or two, like boom, like real solid.
The stand would probably tip over before you're able to punch actually through the drum. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's not likely. And the way he punched through it like it was paper, which those things are typically made out of some kind of hide.
Right. The moment of pathos, with Fletcher telling the story about his dead student was a nice touch. And then he turned out to be lying. Brilliantly written. I haven't heard the word Jaime used as a slur since Jesse Jackson called New York City Jaime Town.
That one struck me pretty hard.
I'm like, Jaime, my God damn, that one's, I thought that was long retired.
I like when they try to make a character so hateful that he just covers all the slurs. Like through this movie, he offended everybody.
Oh, yes. Everyone.
Yeah. Yep. Breaking apart the drum kit in the middle of Neiman playing is a masterclass in sociopathic behavior. And I absolutely love when Neiman tackled Fletcher in the middle of the stage in the competition. That was just a perfect release point for me. I enjoyed that part. I kept waiting for the entire film for Paul Reiser just to say one time, this is not my locker. Fletcher setting him up in the end is brilliant. Neiman doing the drum solo is the perfect all-in re-raise. Fletcher has one hell of a journey in this. He goes from asshole to wounded lamb to vindictive, back to asshole, and then finally a mentor / maybe equal to Andrew. Here's what I appreciated about this film. It takes a subject that virtually no one gives a fuck about and completely sucks you in. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples that have done that to me as well. Euro Dreams of Sushi, the story of an 80-year-old Japanese master sushi chef. King of Kong, two video game nerds trying to break the record in Donkey Kong. This film sucked me in about jazz music, which I could give two shits about. And most people also say they like jazz music just to seem worldly, but they don't. And the constant battle amongst jazz students fighting for chair position in the band sucked me in. This film is a fucking tour de force. I absolutely loved it. It should have won Best Picture instead of Birdman. Thank Christ Simmons won this Best Supporting Actor. Otherwise, the Oscars would have even less credibility than it already has. This film passes the remote test, Nina, and that is anytime you stumble upon a film at any point of that it's playing, half hour in, hour and a half, whatever, you drop the remote and go, yep, I know what I'm doing for the next X amount of minutes left. This film, without fail, always makes me drop the remote. It has amazing rewatchability. There is no reason anyone should give this film less than a 9. It is damn near perfect when it comes to creating memorable characters. 9 out of 10 for yours truly. Absolutely love it. Showstopper. Kevin Israel, floor is yours.
Wow. Well, so I started rewatching this movie last night, and I thought I remembered it really well from when I'd seen it 6 years ago. Because a lot of the drumming storyline really hit me because I lived a lot of that. But I didn't remember the actual point of this movie. I didn't remember the actual message that this movie was trying to send, which I felt like I'd like to go back and talk to myself back then, because were you an idiot? Did you miss the whole point of this movie? Because the evolution that Kev pointed out, it's so nuanced in that it not only I don't think he becomes a mentor. He finally gets the one thing he wanted. He wanted to create a great jazz musician. He wanted to say that kid's mine, which the kid who killed himself, he wouldn't admit that he killed himself because that was an embarrassment to him. Right. He was such a sociopath and a megalomaniac that he couldn't put that on himself. Nothing was ever going to be his fault. He was only trying to make the best thing possible. And at that moment, when he saw that interplay between the two of them, he realized I've made another me. I've created me. And the whole movie, and this was the other thing I remember feeling bad for Miles Teller through this movie, the beginning scene where he keeps slapping him. And I remember thinking that he was a victim in all this, but really he was just a young J.K. Simmons character. He was just waiting to become the next Fletcher. He cut off everything in his life. He treated everybody like shit. He was absolutely obsessed with this one focus point, and it was all that mattered. And then finer in that was he just wanted Fletcher's approval. All he wanted was Fletcher, who was what he was trying to become, to approve of him and to give him that. So it didn't matter that it's almost like that cliched batter housewife syndrome, but it goes beyond that. It goes so far beyond that because he wanted to actually be him. So the abuse didn't even occur to him. He didn't care that J.K. Simmons was slapping him. He cared that J.K. Simmons didn't approve of what he was doing and it wasn't good enough. And that is fucking bananas. But you see people at that level of anything, whether it's sports or music or movie making, you see it. You see people just getting so caught on the end goal that they don't take a moment to look at how am I affecting the others around me with my obsession. And that's a really, really deep point to take. And I like I said, I played the drums. I started playing the drums when I was six. I played them until I was in my 20s. I was in the marching band, which I got a lot of. I really got laid a lot out of that. And I didn't. And I played in concert bands and jazz bands and I played in a couple rock bands. I actually opened for No Doubt, just no name dropping there. But I was always a mediocre drummer. I was at best. I wasn't naturally good. Like Miles Teller's character in this movie is a natural drummer. And I was friends with people like that. And it's amazing to see somebody who can just pick up drumsticks and start playing whatever's being played. It's, mm-hmm. And it's amazing to see that with any instrument. That wasn't me. I had to work my ass off just to be okay. And that was the best I ever was just okay. But I went through a lot of that. I was like all state band, the funny thing about Drumline is I remember watching Drumline and being like, I wish I was black. Drumming, you could be cool and in the band if you were black. Like that was an option for black kids. Because yeah. For white kids, that didn't exist anywhere. There was no place for you to go to be in the marching band and be like cool.
It was white character.
What's that?
It was a white character in Drumline.
There was the one kid. Yeah, yeah. And he was clearly really not supposed to be there. Like they were all being very nice to him. But I remember in some marching band competitions when we would, you know, there would be a black school that came on. They were always fucking amazing. And people came out to watch them. And we were like, we would have our like parents maybe in the audience. And there would be their whole schools to watch. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, we don't care about the football teams. We care about the marching. And we were like,
absolutely.
What is this? Is real life? Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, that struck me funny. But so this doesn't have as much to do with the movie as how the movie impacted me. I was in all-state concert band, not jazz band. Jazz, by the way, is incredibly hard to play. Jazz music for a drummer, mm-hmm. like this movie shows, is really difficult to play. The timing, the speed, the accuracy, it's really, really hard. But so I made all-state band, which was actually a big deal. And we had... I know, Kev, just let this go. Just get past this with your varsity jacket. And
I don't have one.
Live in the glory days.
I don't
know. So I made All-State Band. And the whole point of All-State Band was you played a big concert at one of the performing arts centers in Jersey. And you had practiced for I want to say like 2 months, you had rehearsals every twice a week building up to this thing. So, and I was always a slacker in band. Like I never took it very seriously and I was just good enough to get by. And apparently I was just good enough to make this audition, but these kids took it all really, really seriously. But the conductor we were working with was a fill-in conductor because we were supposed to have this like guest conductor who was a big deal. And so through the rehearsals, the conductor we had was this guy who was kind of like weak, and he just let us do whatever we wanted. And I just fucked around, and I didn't make first or second chair percussion like you saw in this. I was third chair. So I was playing like, it was called like percussion two. So it was like the triangle and I played the timpani, which if you don't know what the timpani is, that's the drums you hear in 2001 Space Odyssey in the famous music. So this one song I had to play the timpani and I never took it seriously. And the tricky thing about the timpani is you have to tune them. You have to tune them to a certain note when you're playing them. And I am completely tone deaf. And my drum teacher just taught me for my audition how to tune the timpani to this one note. So I knew exactly how to do that. But you're supposed to, as a musician, be able to tune it at any point to any note. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that. So we rehearsed for a month and a half with this one conductor who didn't give a shit. And then the real conductor came in and he was a psychopath. Yeah. And he was just started yelling at everybody because nobody was doing what it wasn't as bad as this, but it felt fucking close. Mm-hmm. And he was screaming at everybody. And I was like, oh shit, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so when we played the one song that I had to play the timpani on, I started playing and I hit the drum once and he goes, stop. And he just kept calling me Mr. Timpani. He goes, Mr. Timpani, what's that tune to? And I was like, a C? And he's like, is that a C? And I was like, yeah. He's like, it is not. And I remember I got hot and he came over to me and he stood over me and he's like, tune it to a C. And everybody was watching me and I didn't want to say I have no idea how to do that. And it's got these pedals on it that you can tune it to. It tightens the head. And I pushed it and I hit it and I must have just gotten to the red. He's like, that's a C. Now, can you do that every time? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, very good. And he just walked away and everybody was like, and I just heard everybody go, wow. Like that was the most intense thing these band kids had ever experienced.
Unbelievable. So baseball coaches for years.
Fighting that moment.
That is a good story. Everyone shits on sports coaches for years for this. Guess who got called a faggot for missing the cutoff man once? Me. Guess who never missed the cutoff man again? Me. All right.
It's so funny how abusive behavior makes you a better performer.
Right. But it's the same. I'm just drawing a parallel that band coaches are also monsters, just like sports coaches. We get more shit. It's just band coaches are kind of on the side because
I think anybody who takes anything they're trying to teach seriously, especially at that level, mm-hmm. you're probably going to get some kind of crazy behavior. But anyway, my point is that this movie, watching it just last night, brought me back to all of that. It was like PTSD just thrown in my face.
Yeah.
I had to live through the whole thing. And I forgot about the whole phenomena of first chair, second chair. And people were like obsessed with that. Mm-hmm. And I just always knew that I was okay. So I just didn't care. Like I didn't care what I was just happy to be doing something. So I get it, but watching this to me was what a lot of my friends who were very, very good musicians, and I had a few friends who were fucking amazing musicians, and they tried going to Juilliard and in the city. It really is like that. I mean, I don't know if you have somebody throwing a chair at somebody's head, but these instructors and these people, and especially, and Kev will know this because it's a lot like comedy. When you have people who didn't succeed at what they wanted to do and they become teachers, mm-hmm. they become the worst people in the world. Yeah. And that's what happens with a lot of bookers. Bookers are a lot of time who decide who's on shows in comedy are failed comedians. So they treat comics like shit because they're bitter. And that's kind of what this dynamic was. So it affected me a lot. I'm not going to go through the whole movie. Kev covered it really well. I just wanted to share that one story of how it related to me.
Tell me you still wake up at night in the middle in a cold sweat and jump out of bed and go, a C, a C.
No, you know what? Actually, it's completely the opposite. I forgot all about that experience until I watched that movie last night. And at some point they showed a timpani and I was like, oh my God. And I'm just telling this story to my wife and she was like, So you were just playing the drums? And I was like, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. You don't get the story
if
that I'm trying to tell you.
If you ever had been in something like that, you can't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Whiplash, I'm just like, oh my God, so many bad memories. And the fact, even with you, Kevin, I think you hit it on the head, was that, gosh, I'm so bad with character names. That's why I had IMDb opened.
Fletcher.
Yeah, not Fletcher.
John Neiman, Andrew.
Yeah, I always want to say Miles, but I want to use his character name.
That's fine.
He was growing to become exactly who Fletcher was, and that's why when so many, like, you know, I call them film bros, but when they watch Whiplash and they're just like, oh, like, it's perfect, and he called out his abusive behavior, he's a hero, he's the, you know, he's the protagonist of the film, but he was not the protagonist of the film, because look at his behavior towards everyone. He's literally morphing into a Fletcher when he gets older, especially if he doesn't reach, you know, the person he wanted to become. Like he told the girl, like, I am going to become this great person, but maybe you're not. Right. And you're already showing so many signs of bitterness. And like I said, you know, I can't be upset at the stupidity of the audience, but I think they did make me.
But you know what? And I actually didn't like that he called Melissa Benoit, who, by the way, is now Supergirl. He didn't end up calling. I didn't like that he called her to find out what she was doing, because I felt like that went astray from where he was actually going in his character development path. Mm-hmm. He should have just completely written her off. And I get that they were trying to show, look, she moved on and she's having a normal life, and now you lose out. But I don't think he cared.
They were trying to save face, because no, his character would not care.
Right, right. And I think, and I feel like maybe that was added after the fact, because they were like, he's too hateable.
Right. And they probably were like, let's get her back in and show that she is this, like, developed person.
She moved on!
Who doesn't care about him anyway. And it's like, yeah, you could have just not had her in there at all.
Yeah. So, but for me, the movie that I saw, contrary to what the film bros would say, the movie that I saw, I think it's fantastic that you can pull off a movie that actually has no likable characters. Because typically I hate movies and shows that don't have somebody you can like or root for. Like, my wife is watching Handmaid's Tale, and I was like, who are you supposed to like in this? Like, there's really nobody likable in this movie, in the show, that you can get your hands around. So for a movie like this, and you know, the movie is pretty short and it's very fast. Mm-hmm. So you don't almost get lost in the fact that how fucked up Miles Teller is. But I think it was it's amazing if you see it. Once you see that Miles Teller's character is just becoming J.K. Simmons' character, and that J.K. Simmons is so happy about that. And he says, I can't remember the jazz musician's name, but he's like, I never had my whatever that guy, character's name was, whatever the musician's name was. And when he's watching Miles Teller play the drums, that solo, he realizes this is it. This is his, he has the moment now to create this musician. And that's all he cares about. He doesn't care that, because it's awesome when Miles Teller looks at him and goes, fuck you, while he's playing. Yeah. Like, that's a great moment, but it doesn't matter. And he doesn't care, because he made this in his mind. He made this guy what he wanted him to be. And as he's fucked up and he's damaged, and it'll probably pass that damage along to other people, but he's gonna be a great musician, and that's all that mattered to him. So for me, that message in this movie, number one, resonates personally, because I've seen friends go through it, and number two, it's just it's an important story to tell, and to show how damaging these people can be, and that there are people who won't feel victimized. I mean, that was when you saw Miles Teller sitting with his parents. He was like, why am I even here? I should be back practicing. Like, that's all he cared about. And then he reluctantly tells the story purely just because he wants to get even with J.K. Simmons, not because he felt victimized, just because he wanted to fuck over J.K. Simmons or Fletcher. So for me, I also really, really like this movie. I think I like it for reasons that other people probably don't see or probably don't get. And especially having lived through some of it and the PTSD that it left with me, any drummer you talk to will understand, and the bleeding hands. And by the way, your hands bleeding isn't that big of a deal. Like, they made it look like, oh my God. But if you practice for 2 hours and you're doing the same motion with wooden sticks in your hand, your hands are going to bleed. until you build up the calluses. And then they'll at some point break them.
I'm going to ask the lamest, probably the gayest question I asked. Do people wear gloves just to keep themselves from getting blisters and shit?
You can't, because you need that. You need the tactile. And you'll see like 80s drummers, 80s like hair band drummers.
Oh, the waiter's gloves. Yeah, the waiter's gloves.
Wear the gloves just to look cool. But you need that. You need, especially not if you couldn't have the fingers on, because you're really manipulating sticks with your fingers. But yeah, this was a great movie. For me, I don't know that it passes the remote test. I don't know that this is something that I would put on a lot, other than to maybe watch J.K. Simmons yell at people, yell at all of them. But it is a great movie, and it tells a unique tale. For me, it's an 8.
Wow. Nina, what did you give again? I forgot. I'm sorry.
I think I said a 6.
Okay. Oh, you didn't hate it then.
No, I don't hate it. I think I hate the optics of the film.
I see. Okay. Well, let's see what those shitbag critics have to say in our critics' 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
Whiplash is exactly why films are made. It's powerful, moving, scary, and gripping. Thought-provoking, exhausting, inspiring, and in fucking tense.
They said in fucking tense?
They put, okay, I'll tell you what they really wrote. In percentage sign, star, at ampersand, pound sign, in tense.
Yeah, everyone... That's why I wanted to discuss it, because I've never met anyone that feels the way that I feel about it, which isn't, I don't feel completely horrible about the movie, but I just don't feel the way everyone does. So I'm excited to share why.
A terrific psychological thriller set in the emotionally shark-infested waters of an elite New York music academy. Compelling, stunning, and exhilarating, there are not enough superlatives to describe Whiplash and the impact of its lead performances. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and Whiplash hits so hard, it'll leave you on life support, gasping for air. Cut the shit. Have you ever watched a fucking movie where you're out of breath except porno? No, you have not.
It's not the movie that leaves you out of breath.
Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
This is just a sports drama with a brass section.
That's fair. That is very fair.
Yeah, I agree. A dramatic conceit around which so-called truisms about the destructive quest for artistic perfection can play out. Wow. I think this person hands out Charleston Chews or Smarties for Halloween candies. How about that?
Werther's Original.
The movie struck me as unreal and vaguely ridiculous. I found it easy to imagine Will Ferrell in the role of Fletcher, a switch that would require no decrease in tantrums and no change in dialogue.
I would really like to see Will Ferrell.
I would love that, actually.
Will Ferrell's teeth looks like someone did throw a cymbal in his face.
Yeah, he's great.
I love your obsession with Will Ferrell's teeth.
They are like a Marianas Trench shark's mouth. Amazing.
Never going to look at him without noticing this now.
He does have really bad teeth.
Thank you. Such a cooked up piece of claptrap that I half expected Darth Vader to pick up the baton. I think Darth Vader would have force choked the fat kid for not knowing if he was in tune or not, as well as Neiman when he went rogue.
Oh, that was such a fucked up scene.
By the way, we should probably talk about this really fast. Well, one more review. There wasn't this much blood in Gladiator.
Probably also true.
We probably should talk about real fast, and people are going to go, why didn't you bring that up? The car accident. Who the fuck runs away? Like, I got to go. Gimping away. Like, you know, he had to have a broken arm or something.
Oh, easily.
Right? Yeah. Instead of just more of I twisted my ankle. I'm just going to kind of gimp along the sidewalk and get to this convention.
Yeah, it's a good. And it, you know what? They didn't have to make the car tip over. Like, when the car flipped over, I was like, all right, he's unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just gotten hit and slid and gotten out.
Did they use the jaws of life to get him out of this too, if I remember?
What's that?
Did they use the jaws of life to get him out of the car?
No, he just crawls out.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right.
He's out.
Right. Yeah.
Which is even crazier.
Right. You can only get hopped up on the adrenaline for so long, and then 45 seconds later, you're going to collapse.
Yeah.
Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star review the ooze. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews.
This is a favorite in our house. There is a lot of bad language, but not much else that would be inappropriate for teenage plus viewers. A must see for any musician. Wonderful, powerful story. You're not even sure what you're watching until the credits roll. And I love that it prompted a lengthy debate in our house on proper, quote, teaching methods, unquote.
So why did they give this a 5?
They loved it.
I don't think I would say it was a wonderful story. I mean, it's a powerful story, but wonderful, yeah. Wonderful family story.
Yeah. This isn't Field of Dreams.
I can't.
Well, if you think that was crazy, the jazz instructor Fletcher reminded me of my high school football coach. Note, this was back in the days when awards and trophies were only given to winners and not just to everyone for playing. I agree with that. My school had a great football team and I wanted to be a part of it. I was also willing to do everything to impress the coach and almost hurt myself in the process, but the coach never gave me a second look. Don't fumble, then. That's the key. I felt like Andrew Neiman in many ways as I watched Whiplash, and it brought back the same hurtful feelings that I had at the time. In the end, I made the difficult decision to quit the football team and join the orchestra. The coaches made me into a joke to motivate the football players. If you can't take it, then you can always find a seat in the orchestra. Many years later, I ended up practicing medicine. Signed, Moshe Rosenberg.
That hurts.
Wow. He was waiting to tell that story.
No. That story was its own movie.
It was.
Wasn't it?
He'd been waiting to tell that. He was just like, now is the chance.
The difficult decision to quit, but he never got the ball again. I don't think it's that hard when you're not getting touches, dude. But the ironic part would be if that coach came in for an operation and go,
yeah.
Now who's first team varsity?
That's what he's been waiting for. That's actually why he chose that
performance. Which arm am I amputating?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Appendicitis? I heard sex change. But I got to admit that sometimes when I'm watching a film, I feel like some of the actors are so good, they are like that in real life. Bits and pieces of who they really are. Like, I'll bet anything that Simmons can be a bit of a prick. Just play that role too convincingly. And Miles, well, one thing about him that really aggravates me is his walk. Like he's carrying a massive steamer in his dumper. Plus, I know.
Did you write this? No, I feel like you wrote this. No.
I knew I'd be accused of that. First of all, I would never say a massive steamer in his dumper. I'm a little more educated than that. Plus, and even in his interviews, he is not grateful for his life's achievements. He has that sort of sense of entitlement, quote unquote, air about him. Hey, Miles, a little modesty goes a long way, brother. Anyway, great film and great for the whole family. Signed, Aaron Rodgers.
People are so
highly reference, right?
By the way, I have actually heard that J.K. Simmons is a very, very nice guy.
I've heard that.
And
I've heard Miles Taylor is an incredible douche, which is why he got punched in the face in Hawaii while on vacation with Aaron Rodgers.
I heard the same. And J.K. Simmons has some cannons on him, by the way.
He does. Next one. The only downside, if any, to this movie is that Simmons' character, number one, top cut down in any given scenario, tends to be various homosexual puns. This originally bothered me to the point of not even wanting to watch the movie, but I saw an interview where he goes out of the way to explain that it's just his character's supposed viewpoint, not his in any way. So good on him. Signed, Stifler from American Pie.
Why would you ever have to explain that?
Yeah, I think we all knew his character.
I'm offended for J.K. Simmons that he had to justify.
Yeah. Hey, dummies, I'm not really Luke Skywalker. Is that what Mark Hamill has to say? Or I'm not really the Joker.
The guy who played Inglourious Hitler in Glorious Bastards must have a rough go.
Right.
Or Kevin Spacey in real life. Amazon. No. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews.
This is a movie about an abusive elitist douchebag who uses hate and fear to get other antisocial elitist douchebags to, well, I'm not sure what he gets them to do, but it's certainly not play better. I cut and paste. I don't edit for grammar, Nina, excuse me.
No worries.
If you want to see an inspirational movie about music, see Shine. If you want to watch a grown man have a have tantrums for 2 hours, watch this.
I don't remember Shine.
David, Jeffrey Rush, I know that was in it, and he won. And it's the perfect case of an Oscar film winning an Oscar, and no one gives two shits about it after the Oscars.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither.
Next one. ESH. I don't know what that means, but in parentheses, everyone sucks in this movie. The more I think about this movie, the more I hate it. In addition to the qualms brought up in the other 1-star reviews, I'm surprised a movie this toxically masculine was made in 2014. Watching this movie reminded me of all those horrible teachers and coaches I had as a kid who thought being verbally abusive and manipulative was somehow good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how come there are only dudes in the studio band? Did any people of color even have dialogue? Maybe the bassist in the end? Also, who puts raisinettes in popcorn? See?
All valid points.
Might be my favorite review.
Wait, or the one the black guy is, what are you doing, man? With the piano guy.
Right.
I forgot that guy.
The black people in this movie were just always angry at Miles Teller. That was the takeaway.
I could write more, but I think I'll call it there. This movie has already taken up too much of my life. If you want to watch a real film about some amazing jazz drumming, check out Milford Gray's Full Mantis. That movie was all right. Signed, Tommy Lee. Haven't seen it.
Also never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, never heard of it.
No.
That's
$20 says that's the movie that reviewer wrote and made himself or herself. Yeah. Just shoehorning a plug in there.
He said it was called Full Mantis?
Milford Graves Full Mantis. Stop giving out free plugs on our podcast, Nina. That's for the advertisers to do.
You're absolutely correct. I just want to see this. I just feel like it's the worst movie I've ever seen already.
Oh, I thought you don't make fun of movies because you know how hard they are to make.
You got me.
Gotcha.
But that one just, no.
Haven't seen it since I had no idea I bought it. Yikes.
They wrote her.
The yikes really sold me.
Those reviews and the how much I spent on this are by far Kevin Israel's favorite Amazon 1-star review.
I love anybody who goes to leave a review just because they're upset about something that has nothing to do with the movie.
Yes. Last one. All narcissistic MFs like this instructor should be put down like a sick animal. I will be more than happy to volunteer my services to whack every one of these MFs. These people are demonic.
Wow. He's like the Batman for all.
The Batman who won't use guns or curse. Kevin Israel, did Nina Serafina gut the sacred cow?
Nina, I got to tell you, you are lovely. You made some awesome points. The whole idea that people like this movie for reasons that don't really have to do with what the movie is actually about is a great point. I don't think you fully gutted this one though. This movie's a juggernaut, and it's one that I didn't know what I was going, how I was going to feel about it when I rewatched it. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was going to hit me as hard as it did. I don't know if it's going to be one of those movies that I'm going to have on replay in my queue, but it's a powerful movie. And J.K. Simmons, I mean, I get your point that it's a performance driven movie and not light on the plot, but his performance is so fucking good. And he just becomes the worst. Like, of all the bad guys I've seen in movies, he might be the worst bad guy. And Thanos killed half of the universe. And I think Fletcher might be worse than Thanos. So that said, you did a great job, but I don't think you got this one.
I will agree. Even the I will agree. I love this film. And when you wrote me, I go, well, you're going against one of the two films I consider to be the best in the last 10 years that I've seen, the other being The Founder. If you have not watched that, do not.
Such a good movie.
Fucking love it. These two films are absolutely, again, this is why I don't take the Oscars seriously and haven't taken them seriously in years. Those films were completely snubbed, and those films were fucking amazing, more memorable than a lot of the shit that has won now. I love this film. I can watch it at any juncture. I think it's fantastic. And like you just said, very aptly, both of you, that his performance is insane. And I love watching a psychopath take course. And my other J.K. Simmons favorite role, of course, is J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man films. And God damn it, I can't wait for it in the new one, because you see him teasing the end of the last Spider-Man film. And he puts a smile on my fucking face as J. Jonah Jameson.
Which, by the way, if you watch the Invincible on Netflix, the superhero cartoon, and he plays – what's that?
It's on Amazon.
Amazon, sorry. He plays one of the main characters, Omni-Man, who's supposed to be like Superman. Yeah. He's just as psychopathic as he is in the
extremely psychopathic.
Yeah, it's and he's a great psychopath, and he makes that movie, he makes that show because he's fucking amazing in it. Yeah. J.K. Simmons.
It's so funny. I rewatched Whiplash last night, but before that, I watched this like rom com type movie with and he was like the love interest in it, and it was just really sweet to see him play like this soft guy. It was great.
Was it
not a sociopath?
It was the meddler.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I love this film. It's fantastic. We already said that already. Nina, tell everybody what you're up to yet again, where we can find you.
Yeah. Watch my show on YouTube. I'm about to start pitching it to some networks. And so if we have a little bit more YouTube views, that always helps. It's really easy to remember. Sorry about that. First thing that'll pop up on YouTube when you punch it in. And yeah, follow me on Twitter for more film hot takes. And I ask a lot of film questions. So it's Nina Serafina.
Kevin Israel.
KevinIsrael.com. You can actually check me out on LOL Networks and Kevin Hart's Lift Comics. I just did an episode. It's episode 6 that just dropped this past weekend, which doesn't mean anything because I don't know when this episode's going to drop. But it's on the LOL Network. I think it's on YouTube and pretty much everywhere you can get the LOL Network. So that's cool. And KevinIsrael.com for all my upcoming dates.
KevinGoatee.com for the same without the Kevin Hart credit to my name. That's for sure. But more importantly, go to Gutting the Sacred Cow on any of the podcast platforms you catch us on and leave us a 5-star rating. 2 or 3 sentence review. Do that for us. We thank you kindly. It does help us with the algorithm and gets us boosted up in there. And again, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Gutting the Sacred Cow, on Twitter, GTSC Podcast. And the most important thing you can do is whenever you're around the old barbecue or cookout or hanging outside, shooting the shit with your friends, and you're saying, hey, give me a good podcast to listen to. God damn it. Make us the first choice that comes out of your mouth. Because we're funny, we're entertaining, and we're doing something that no one else is doing. And that's inviting guests to pick films that everyone loves or have made a lot of money or won a lot of awards. And people have the balls like Nina to come on and say, nope, not having it. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Nina, Serafina, you've been amazing. Thanks for coming on, hanging out. We appreciate it. And we'll see you guys later. Take care.